And welcome to another Tom and Shane podcast, video podcast. What do we call these things? I don't know what the hell they call them. Something video things or whatever.
And it's a conversation. In hope and hopefully others are listening.
Well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? If we had actual people listening to us. So
we do.
Might be good. Yeah. Well, today we've got a hot topic because we're going to talk about, is it time to end the minimum wage? Is it time to end the minimum wage? That's a serious question, Shane, because, there's no maximum wage. You know, you can't get to a certain part and stop. So why do we have a minimum wage? I can see we're back in the day where, before wage and hour laws and everything, employees were exploited. But now, the minimum wage currently, $7.25 nationwide, no one pays that. Well, I will say that if you just need an employee who can fog a mirror and take up space, you can pay them $7.25. But if they're going to actually do something, more than likely, they're not going to work for $7.25. What do you say?
Well, I guess the important aspect is you sort of have to put it in two groups. In the 21st century, you have the social network that provides people to work at home. So that's non-labor. And then you have the people that worked in offices and worked in buildings, but with COVID, they've gone home. So they sort of qualify in that group. And then you have the labor force and people that are out there working in industry and in special areas like, being an electrician, a carpenter, and so forth. So they're separated now. It was originally, mm-hmm. Started in 1933 by Roosevelt, FDR, 25 cents an hour.
Yeah.
Which, what they started out, But it's always been a real mark of the states that have shown the willingness to move forward. This is one thing that Democrats have led on always in the last 100 years. But it's like unions. I don't see the necessity of it anymore. Your workforce is now at 150 million and growing. It's so specific in what people do, even though people look at a lower end job working at McDonald's and Burger King, is starting to raise the lifestyle of the lower class in your country, which is now 20 is anywhere from $11,000 to $30,000 depending on the job that you get and what you paid an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're kind of looking at here. Well, 25 states are going to raise the debt on January 1st by mm-hmm. advanced calculus. That's pretty close to half of the 50 states, I believe. And got to be accurate here. Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee have no minimum wage laws at all. And Georgia and Wyoming both have $5.15 as the state minimum wage. So, of course, they've got to pay $7.25. So, yeah.
Well, you're faced with the practicality of supply and demand. And mm-hmm. and that's where you're quickly coming to a realization of the dangers of having overpopulation by illegal immigration. And when I say mm-hmm. overpopulation, I mean overpopulation of the workforce.
Right.
So yeah. don't you think that damages people's ability to see a raise in wages from illegal immigration?
Well, sure. No question. Because, in many cases, as I say, there are two types of employment, Shane. There are types of employment where you need skills or some kind of expertise. And there's other jobs where, you can be trained in 15 minutes to stack cans on a shelf or, clean a floor, run a vacuum or, things like that. So,
or fold the pizza box.
Yeah. Or fold the pizza box, I guess. So, or deliver a pizza. I don't know, whichever that is, but, yeah, the, Well, the other thing is that every time, you know, an employer, they look at payroll is normally the largest or one of the largest expenses people have.
Labor is,
particularly retail. Right. It's your highest thing. So you've got to keep your cost within reason, or otherwise your profit suffers. And, you know, if you're forced to raise one end but not the other, then you've got to lay people off to balance that your profit margin is still there.
Well, you know, that's always been the argument, you know. Oh, particularly with the Republicans, it's bad for business. You know, you raise the wage, and boy, you cut into the profits of the business, and it's a bad thing. That's not the bad thing. That, you know, this is again one of these little lies. It's a gigantic untruth and failure on the part of anyone to explain it. It causes inflation, and why does it cause inflation? It causes inflation because if a person is either ordered to or has to raise wages because he needs to find people to do work, then he has to raise the price of whatever the product is he's selling, producing, or, you know, shipping away somewhere. It doesn't matter because labor is a measure of your operating expenses, as is, you know, your cost of your mortgage or the cost of your rental for space that you produce something in. And then you have the cost of the supplies that you need to produce something. So if they go up again, you have to raise prices. So when they talk about trade, you know, and the trade imbalance that we have, and oh my gosh, you know, things are costing more, so they have to raise prices, and that causes inflation. You know, it's great to have that conversation, but they don't have the conversation that, well, we raise wages, that causes inflation too. So it becomes a double-barreled shotgun to inflation when wages and prices of raw materials go up, because you have the two biggest causes of inflation that exist. So one of the biggest problems that you have is an expanding economy. So to slow that down, that inflation, you know, the Fed always steps in, raises interest rates with the idea of less lending to business, so it shrinks. It doesn't expand. Well, that's sort of a dead dog in the 21st century. You know, business is going to expand with or without the Fed now because of people at home. So I'm sure you'll agree that the problem that the Fed has right now is people working at home and creating their own businesses and working at home, because that has a huge difference now in the game than what the Fed's worked with before, right?
Yeah, it does. Well, the other thing to think about, Shane, is what about the current employees? So if you're raising the minimum wage on the lower tier employees, then the upper tier, you know, they expect something also. You know,
that's right.
If you're going to give one a raise, you got to give the other a raise.
You know, when we talked about this a whole year ago, and the reason I want to bring it up was with COVID and everybody being sent home and quarantined or ordered. And I said, boy, if I owned an office building, you know, I would go to the people that I have a 20-year lease with and say, you can buy it out, take that money for them to buy it out, and, you know, start converting all those floors, you know, to apartments, living space from office space.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen any numbers to that effect happening, strangely enough. But the bottom line here is companies now have discovered that a lot of the people that they had with that added expense of office space or operating space, now they're home. That increases their profit. So that allows them to actually pay people more without having to raise prices. So that's what I'm saying. The 21st century is shifting this whole thing. So if the Fed steps in now because of wage increases and thinks that that's cause of inflation, boy, we could be faced with a real ugly problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you may not be able to convert those office buildings because of zoning. It depends on what the zoning is in the city.
Well, I'm sure you would have to go to the city.
Yeah,
the city,
you'd have to go get some kind of a dispensation or something.
But the city's going to let you do that because they want taxes. No business is paying taxes. You know, you'd rather have tenants in there and paying taxes on that, you know, property. But
yeah,
yeah, these are the small solutions to big problems.
Yeah. Let's see, Davis Bacon wages union are set based on the minimum wage. Yeah, so union contracts too are adjusted. As the minimum wage goes up, the union contract is adjusted for all the employees in that union. So again, that becomes a big red flag for employers. How do I prepare for this? You know, how am I going to keep people? Am I going to have to lay people off? What's going to happen here as I go into 2022?
Well, I think when you look at unions across the board, national unions do not represent their members well. You can go and do a deep dive on this and look at local unions, like a local garbage truck company, mm-hmm. you know, that works with the city, or, you know, different things of this nature. Local electricians may have a business that's regional or large in an urban city and unionized. They're getting paid better on average than workers for large unions, you know, automobile and industrial. So it's a matter of who negotiates for you. And I'm sure you know from your own experience and can tell every negotiations are everything, are they not, Eelman?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was a member of two unions during my working years, and I went on strike with one of them. And the bad thing about unions is that you're locked in. You know, you can work your butt off, but you can't get another dime and raise for good performance or whatever. To my way of thinking, unions unions make it so you work just hard enough not to get fired. And, you know, that brings the whole company down.
That's right. I mean, and the, you know, government services union is the best one to work for because you can't fire anybody. I mean, even if you you want to pay them severance give them benefits, you know, 9 out of 10 times, literally 99 times out of 100, they'll sue you and win. And then, and a lot of times you have to give them their job back. So sadly, the reality is that in closed unions, that's what I refer to as, you know,
closed shops,
like government services union. You know, the only way that, the workforce shrinks is, you know, people retiring or dying. Literally, mm-hmm. it's one of those things. It's a definite to your grave job. Sweet spot, as I like to say in the economy.
That would be true. Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough out there for the, the employer's got a lot of decisions they've got to make, Shane. They've got a lot of hoops they've got to jump through. And, where is this going? Because as we mentioned earlier, not only the low end of the people get a raise, but as we talked about union contracts, if the low end gets a raise, the higher end gets a raise. So employers have to sit down and really pencil in how much am I going to make this year? Am I going to have to get rid of employees? Am I have to lay somebody off? How's that going to work? So,
well, I think one of the interesting things that could be legislated, and this is in the point of the conversation where you come up with ideas to try and say, how do we balance this out? Well, one of the ways you balance it out is that these high-end large bonuses paid out to these CEOs and so forth in corporations should be qualified. Whatever that percentage is in relation to their existing salary, which is what it normally is, a salary, because they work for on a salary basis, not any wage, should be proportionally given to the employees across the board in the company. Because if the guy at the top is going to get some shredded deal for like tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars worth of stock, then everyone else in the company on a percentage basis should get the same thing. They should all get a bonus. You get a bonus, I get a bonus. You know, it's like rules for thee are made for me.
We're going to have to part company there because I believe CEOs are paid what they're worth, you know, and you know, divvying it up,
not even giving close.
Giving everybody a bonus. And no, I don't, I can't go along with that.
Well, of course, it's everybody else that creates the company, not the CEO. That's mm-hmm. the smallest job in a company is being a CEO. It's a matter of intelligence, capability, and knowledge, which is a lot and helps out the company. But to grandize it in the 21st century, well, the 20th century, actually, as they have, he's already paid and compensated more than enough. He doesn't need these kind of bonuses at the end of the year. Certainly if there's not one for everyone else in the company.
Yeah, well, I would argue you're paid what you're worth. Yeah.
There you go. A bonus should be shared by all.
Well, if you're going to do that, then why not raise everybody's pay?
Well, maybe that's what you do. If instead of giving me a bonus, I take it across the year as a wage increase. These are choices that can be made. Yeah. But again, in a lot of areas, mm-hmm. government ones too. But I mean, mm-hmm. If you're a cable company and you call in, you're talking to somebody at home as opposed to in a building downtown that used to be in a queue. So, the money's being saved across the board. It should be shared with the employees. That's all.
Yeah. Well, if it's feasible, I'd agree. If it's not, no. Can't do it. So anyway. All right. Well, have we decided anything here today?
Yeah, we decided that for the base of the basis of expansion, development, and the social networking in the 21st century, minimum wage is going away. It will. There's no need for it any longer.
Well, I think that's why Congress hasn't rushed to raise it. You know, it's been 725 since 2009. That's the last time there was an increase. So
that's right.
You know, why raise it? Nobody's paying it anyway. Or if they are paying it, as I said, it's mostly to do very minimal work, no experience, no skills, no nothing.
Well, it's like a third rail, like Social Security and so forth, Medicare, because, it's basically unconstitutional. There's nothing about wages in the Constitution. So it would fall under the 14th Amendment and be guidelined or set down by states, mm-hmm. which is what now has happened. It's the same we've talked about unions. Unions, came about because of the abuse, and then government, after 40 years of legislation, basically replaced the union as the protector of the worker with regulations and overviews, OSHA and so forth. And minimum wage is the same. It started out because mm-hmm. of the abuse, as you so well pointed out at the beginning of the show. But now the need of a sophisticated workforce, it's got to be educated. This mm-hmm. is the other side of the coin. Coming out of high school, yes, you have a basic education, but you're educated. So, the two most educated workforces in the world are in the United States and India, mm-hmm. And across and most of Europe. But the largest ones are U.S. and India. So, productivity mm-hmm. is really predicated on knowledge and education. Yeah. So that also has a bearing on all of this and why minimum wage is gone, because these things are moving ahead at a very significant rate, into the 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah. Craig says there should be no minimum wage. And I agree with that. Market sets prices and wages, I would agree. I think the employer knows what they can pay. And still maintain their profit margin.
Based on the projected sales and balance sheet. And we talked about that, and small businesses having to have a P&L statement, profit and loss statement, an understanding of what their long-term sales are going to be, and income statement is, over mm-hmm. time. Yeah. And, you expect an ongoing increase in your growth of your company because it's successful.
Yeah.
So, that will provide the profits to increase wages, which you want to have a loyal workforce, because another cost involved in this, as you expand and become more successful, is, you know, having to replace people that work because the paperwork and the human resource time, the human resource time to replace somebody is significant.
Yeah. You'll hear my dogs in the background. They're freaking out. So,
yeah, well, it's okay. A little dog. I like your parrot. Where's your parrot? He should be on your shoulder. Yeah. You should have him on your shoulder with a
push
on your eye. Yeah.
That's my dogs are barking. They don't like me being in here tied up sometimes. So, that's the dogs. I don't know what to do with them. Can't muzzle them, you know.
No, but, they're fine.
They don't do it very often. They don't do it very often.
So. Hey, it's an expression of reality. You know, this is good. It's a reality show. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's for sure. So, all right. Well, at any rate, 25 states, employers in those states are going to have to adapt to. They're going to have to adapt to the, whatever they do here. You know, in Montana, it's going up to 9.20 an hour. And, the other thing about that, too, in Montana, that's tipped wages, too. That's waiters and waitresses. They get minimum wage.
That's correct.
So they don't, in some states, waiters and waitresses can wait people, I should say, to be politically correct, of course. You know, but anyway, they can get a lesser pay per hour, and tips make up the difference. But, not in Montana and not some other states. So, let's see. Craig likes the background. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with operators of servers that are tipped is that because of minimum wage, they're telling people when they hire them. So you have to give up a percentage of what you make every night, 50%. Yeah. And we'll split it with everybody else. You know, we'll share that. You know, this is the epitome of what I'm talking about, bonuses. I mean, here you have a perfect example where someone doing a very difficult job and is getting a benefit has to share that benefit that they've earned. And, you know, it goes back to what I'm saying. If you're going to bonus somebody at the top, you got to bonus everybody or no one gets a bonus. So. Yeah. You know, in the 21st century, you're going to have the opportunity to see the companies can afford that. That's why this year is going to be very interesting when you see what the cash flows are on public companies in particular, because they got a report against the earnings, per share that they're going to generate with the valuations of their stock. Because, you know, people are expecting a lot of this. A lot of investors are expecting significant increases in profits.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, I guess. Greg says concept of living wage. Beverly Hills, not exactly. Can't live in Beverly Hills the same you can live in Livingston or Three Forks, huh?
Unless you're working for someone who lives there.
Well, that's true. Most people can't afford to live within walking distance of where they work. So, living wage is a stupid concept because living in one place is the other thing, there was an article in the paper, Shane, about they can't find snow plow drivers. And the reason given is because of housing, the cost of housing, that our median house in Gallatin County is now $730,000. So, it's pricey to live here.
It's a second job, right? And so this gives you a perfect example of the underground economy, where a guy buys a plow for the front of his pickup, you know, it's $150, and he hooks it up and he goes around to small businesses or large and says, "Hey, I'll plow your parking lot. But I want cash."
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry. All I take is cash. Okay.
Well, I don't know about that. But
well, that's what I'm just saying. You know. You talk about city workers that can maybe do it because you know the city, but cities have taken on or dumped so many responsibilities now, and left it to businesses and so forth that you know that doesn't exist. So you're right. I mean, it depends again on. The cost of living that whether your wage is going to be provided as a benefit or, you know, or just help lift the difference, because it doesn't help you that you make more to pay for rent.
No,
because it's more expensive. Well, I mean, you know, I get $30 an hour, but you know, $20 is going towards rent.
Yeah,
you know, whatever, you know. So yeah, or a mortgage
or gas,
or gas. Yeah, you everybody has a budget, just like every company does. So
yeah, that's for sure.
It's everything is relative.
That they do. Well, hey, I want to remind you, if you're first time watching us, or if you've been watching us for a while, don't forget to subscribe. You know, that's painless. You don't get anything for subscribing. Nothing happens to you. No emails, no notices, no nothing. You know, you might as well just hit the subscribe button while you're here. It's down in the lower right-hand corner.
And we don't even want to know your credit card number.
And so we don't care if you have a credit card.
That's right.
Ring the notification bell, too. That'll let you know anytime we have a new podcast coming up, and like us and leave a comment, because YouTube likes that kind of stuff. It goes a long way to do that. From Canada, Shane, where you are, housing in Canada to rent a one bedroom goes for $1,500 a month. How can someone working for minimum wage pay their bills? They can't. So there you are. So yeah, it's expensive everywhere, Shane.
And that $1,500 a month is like for a non-bedroom single, you know, couch is your bed. You know, apartment, right?
Yeah, it's a cot.
Isn't it's called it's a bachelor apartment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cot and a, what, a hot plate.
Yeah. And people are renting, you know, to students, you know, a walk-in closet for $900 a month to live in. Like, it's just like, you got to be kidding me on it. Wow.
Sabrina agrees with you, Shane. She's down with that. So, So we got people from Canada here. We got people from all over the country here. Hey, we thank you very much for joining us and being with us today. And again, we're still having some issues with the cable signal. I'm getting a weak signal here, so it may be blurry or whatever.
That's why I look so good. You know,
you look good.
You see Tom like you're looking through binoculars and you're trying to focus him. But
it's not good. You know, I had the cable people out here yesterday and they thought they fixed it, but I don't know. It's still kind of iffy. Maybe the program pulls way too much signal.
Well, it probably doesn't help that your dogs are chewing on the cables.
Well, that's true. Yeah, the dogs are out there. Well, at least they're quiet. So.
Chewing on your cables.
Yeah, they were going at it pretty good before we went on. So I don't know. But anyway, hey, everybody, thanks for watching us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our family here. We really appreciate all of you. And don't forget, because, we don't want you to forget because, well, you know, you can't. We're on radio on Saturday, in case you didn't realize that. You can listen to us going across the crawl right there. We're on every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. And all you have to do is go to KMMSAM.com, click listen now. There's no sign up, no email, no credit card, no nothing. You just go and listen, and you can text us, you can call us, whatever you want to do. And if you want to listen to any past shows, commercial free, listen to past shows at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and it'll take you over to where all the other podcasts are. So KMMSAM.com. Don't forget to be there. And let's see, last comment we've got from Craig, from back to Bruce, I guess. First job is McDonald's and never expected to make enough to pay rent and eat. No, you don't. If you're making minimum wage, you're probably living at home with mom and dad in the basement. You're learning skills to take to your next job. So hopefully everybody is learning from something from where you work. You know, every work experience, you learn as much as you can about that company, how it works, how they buy things, how they sell things, what their margins are, everything. Take that to your next job. Amen.
That's a work license for good life.
Amen to that. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll talk to you on Saturday on radio, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com. We'll see everybody then. Bye for now.